You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1, where we left off last time. Did you hear the rhyme? I'm a poet, don't you know it? 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one, by name, as the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Excuse me. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, Internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, or True Social taping. I'm in Sunshine, Florida. I am right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, the nation of Israel has chosen to have a man king instead of God king. They are going from a theocracy to a monarchy. Now, chapter 9 is going to tell us that the new king will be Saul. Saul's name means ask. Be careful what you ask God for. You might get it. The chapters 9 through 14 tells us of the rise of King Saul. Chapters 15 to chapters 31 tells us the fall of Saul. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the excellent attributes of God's excellent leaders. The excellent attributes of God's excellent leaders. Now, if you're God's excellent leader, of course, Jesus has to be your Lord and Savior. You have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And you have to know the Bible and live the Bible. Okay. Now, some of you are saying, well, I'm that, but I'm not a leader. I'm not the president of the United States of America. I don't own a business. I don't own a school. I don't have authority over anyone. Yes, you do. Every Christian is a leader. You are commanded to be a minister of reconciliation. You are to lead people to Jesus so they can reconcile to God. So this is for every Christian, the excellent attributes of God's excellent leaders.
Verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, a son of Zeror, a son of Bechorah, son of Hathiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power.
He was the tribe of Benjamin. Remember, there are 12 tribes, Benjamin tribe, and powers mean he had a lot of possessions.
Verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul.
Remember, Saul's name means ask. This is what they asked for.
A choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people.
Saul is tall and good looking. Wow. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God's excellent leader must be beautiful on the inside, pure heart, clean hands.
Verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost.
They lost their donkeys. God's excellent leader does not lose the donkeys. God's excellent leader is a watchman on the wall, and they watch out for the people. They see when someone's going on this wide, broad way, and they pull them back in to the straight and narrow. Like our Father, he watches over us. Not one little sparrow falls to the ground without our God knowing it.
He said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses.
You notice that his son there helped him lose them there. I mean, in Bible times, the son always helped with the father there. So, okay, go find that which is lost.
Verse 4. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, passed through the land of Shalasar, but they found them not.
No donkeys there.
And he passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not.
No donkeys there.
And he passed through the land of Benjamites, but they found them not.
No donkeys there. God's excellent leader has divine order. They don't go hither, thither, and yon. Put something here, put something there, aimlessly. God's excellent leader operates in divine order because before they do anything, they take directions from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Verse 5. And when they would come to the land of Zuth, Saul said to his servant that was with him, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us.
We're going to find they've been gone 3 days. So the son says, we better get back. My father's going to be more worried about us than the donkeys there. God's excellent leader does not quit just because there seems to be no way. God's excellent leader perseveres, knowing that perseverance wins. God's excellent leader knows that winners never quit and quitters never win. Even Jesus said, because of your importunity, you'll find it. Shameless persistence. Amen.
Verse 6. And he said unto him,
the servant said,
behold now, there is in this city a man of God.
Whoa. The servant knows where Samuel is. Samuel is the judge of all Israel. That means he's the prophet. That's like the president of the United States. And everybody knows that the President of the United States lives in the White House, especially when they're legally elected.
And he is an honorable man. All that is said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Verse 7.
Okay. A little child shall lead them.
Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man?
King David said, I will not go before the presence of the Lord to the house of the Lord without a gift. It's customary that when you go before a king, you take a gift. And the prophet always represents the king. I will not go before the Lord without a gift. God's excellent leaders always bring a gift before they go before God.
For the bread is spent in our vessels.
We don't have any more bread. We've eaten all our food. We can't even give him a cake.
And there is not a present to bring to the man of God.
We don't have anything there. Okay. The excellent leader of God always prepares. He's in such order. He anticipates what could happen. God's excellent leader always has enough and to share, to give and to spare. Amen. They never go unprepared anywhere.
What have we? Verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver.
I've got some silver, says the servant.
That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Verse 9.
Okay. Again, a little child shall lead them.
Before time in Israel, the man went to inquire of God. Thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer.
This verse is in parentheses. Okay. A seer in the Bible is the same thing as a prophet. So don't think somebody using a crystal ball or tarot cards or something like that. A prophet is an anointed speaker. The prophet is an anointed of Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks through them, and the Holy Spirit prays through them. A seer sees beyond the physical and sees into the spiritual realm. God's excellent leader sees more than meets the eye. An excellent leader of God in America would know that we're not fighting with flesh and blood, but we're in a spiritual battle, so we have to fight it differently there. Amen. An excellent leader doesn't stop with what he sees. He sees into the spiritual realm.
Verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go.
Well, now that's good. God's excellent leader, when he hears the advice, wise advice, of a subordinate, he'll take it. That's good.
So they went into the city where the man of God was. Verse 11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water.
Pretty maidens all in a row. Saul is young, about 30 years old. He's single. He's tall. He's good looking. Now we got all these pretty maidens come up to get water. You think maybe he kind of looked at them a little bit there. Don't you think there was an ugly woman or an ugly man pulling a donkey right there? No, no, no. God's excellent leader does not let himself get sidetracked by physical. He does not let a pretty girl hide under his desk in the Oval Office. He does not touch the shoulders of a young girl and smell her hair.
Amen.
God's fearless leader keeps us focused on the mission. Amen. No distraction.
Amen.
And said to them, is the seer here?
Now, it's not wrong that he asked them, but you know he's in the town. There are more people than these pretty girls.
Verse 12. And they answered them and said, he is. Go, he is before you. Make haste.
Do you notice they said, go, hurry? I kind of think they're trying to say, go on. We kind of see you looking at us. Go on, hurry. God's excellent leader does not delay. He moves when he's supposed to move.
For he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place.
There's a worship place here. And the prophet Samuel is going to lead the worship feast there. God's excellent leader always moves in God's perfect timing. Not 1 minute early, not 1 minute late. You know one of the benefits of returning the tithe, you don't give it to him, it's his. He said return it, one-tenth, is that your vine shall not cast a fruit before the time in the field. That things will be in time in your life. You'll meet the right person at the right time. You'll be at this place at the right time. You'll get the right telephone call. Everything is timing.
Amen.
Verse 13. As soon as he become into the city, you will straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterward they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up.
Okay. An excellent leader blesses the food he's going to give to the people. All God's excellent leaders study the bread, the word of God. True presidents, true leaders, business people, parents, preachers, teachers, pastors. First of all, you bless it because you study. God's excellent leaders feed the people the word of God. The right thing in America is for the president to every day take the Bible and read it to the people, and that would be God's excellent leader, because that is feeding the people. When you have the bread, the word of God, you have everything, for the word is life to those that find them.
Amen.
So about this time you shall find him.
They just told him to leave again. That's the second time those girls said, get along, little doggy.
Verse 14, and they went up into the city. And behold, when they went up into the city, Samuel came out against them.
God's excellent leader knows the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
About to go up to the high place. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying,
God's excellent leader knows, Mark 13. Jesus says, behold, I have foretold you all things. And God's excellent leader knows, Amos 3:7. God says, I do nothing but first I reveal my secrets to my servants, the prophets.
Verse 16, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel.
God had told Samuel, he said, this is the one that's going to be the king. God's excellent leader hears the voice of God.
That he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines.
Now you remember the Philistines were big and bad. They were always coming against the nation of Israel. Back a few chapters when the nation of Israel had a national day of repentance, that ended the Philistines. God protected the nation. Those Philistines could not even come. They could come to the borders, but they could never get into the land. God was the wall to keep the enemy away. God's excellent leader protects the nation. He builds a wall. First of all, it's God. He protects it. He keeps out the drug traffickers, the pedophiles, the human traffickers. In other words, God's excellent leader protects the entire nation, or people, or business, or church, or wherever he's leading.
For I have looked upon my people, for their cry is come unto me.
Cry is coming to me is from the original manuscripts, Syriac and Chaldean. Even though the nation had gone astray, God still loves the people, and it means that God sees that his people are oppressed. Though America is being attacked because we've thrown away Jesus and the Bible and gone after other gods, God still has compassion on his true people in America.
Amen.
God's excellent leader knows that. And that's why we pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We don't just pray it, we do it.
Amen. Verse 17, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man whom I spoke to thee of.
God's excellent leader is never confused. He knows when God says, this is it.
The same shall reign over my people.
This is the one.
Verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is.
Now remember that Samuel is the judge of the whole nation, and he travels around, meaning he would also have traveled in Benjamin where Saul lived. So everybody in the nation knew Samuel. They'd seen him sooner or later. They knew what he looked like, and of course they knew where he lived. Saul doesn't have a clue. God's excellent leader knows where the person of God is and where they live.
Amen.
Billy Graham is in heaven, and great is his reward. When he was alive on earth in the body, every American president knew Billy Graham and consulted with him and knew where he lived. Now, a lot of them didn't pay attention. God's excellent leader know the person who's in contact with God so they can get God's help in the nation.
Yes.
Amen. Verse 19, and Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer.
God's excellent leader knows who he is in Christ, or she is. God's excellent leader knows what their duty to God is. They know their calling. There has no doubt. They don't say, I wonder what I'm supposed to do. God's excellent leader, whether it be business, whether it be church, whether it be parent, whether it be nation, whether it be media, God's excellent leader knows what he's called to do and is doing it.
Amen.
Go up before me unto the high place.
Look at that. Now, Samuel is sort of like the king, the president. He always goes first, but he says, you go right ahead there. God's excellent leader esteems others better than himself. Can you imagine Joe Biden saying, President Trump, you go first? You'll get it.
For you shall eat with me today. Tomorrow I will let thee go and tell thee all that is in thine heart.
Now Samuel knows about the donkeys. He knows God's already told him. God hid those donkeys so that Saul could meet Samuel. He doesn't mention the donkeys. He goes straight to the heart. God's excellent leader doesn't give a hill of beans about what you look like or the pretty clothes you've got on. God's excellent leader looks straight at the heart. Only when you see people's hearts do you know how to pray for them or how to help them. God's excellent leaders goes to the heart, sees the heart.
Verse 20, and as for thy asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found.
Oh, by the way, your donkeys have been found. Now Samuel's letting Saul know what I'm about to tell you that's much greater than this. You'll know that I know what I'm talking about.
And on whom is all the desire of Israel?
Wait a minute. What does Israel desire? Israel desires a king. Wait, Samuel is saying that desire is on you. God's excellent leader knows what the nation desires. God's excellent leader knows that America, under President Trump, was energy independent. And America wants to be energy independent again.
Amen.
God's excellent leader knows that we want to worship as we please. We want to bear arms. We want to be free.
Amen.
Leave our business alone.
Amen.
God's excellent leader knows what's in the heart of the people, what they desire.
Is it not on thee and all thy father's house?
Whoa. Samuel said, you're the one they desire. Wow. I mean, Saul's just trying to find his donkeys.
Verse 21. Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite?
Am I not a Benjamite? Now, you need to know about the tribe of Benjamin. For homework, you might want to read Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. Remember, there are 12 tribes. What had happened, all of the 11 tribes abhorred the tribe of Benjamin because the men of Benjamin had done something so horrible. They had abused a Levite's concubine, sexually abused her all night long until she died. The other 11 tribes were so upset about this, it caused a civil war. And they had fought against Benjamin and wiped out all the tribe of Benjamin but 600. But God's excellent leader knows, despise not small beginnings.
Of the smallest of the tribes.
Small.
In my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin.
Saul has an inferiority complex. He doesn't feel up to it. Maybe because of the tribe of Benjamin, maybe because of something else. He obviously has an inferiority complex. But it kind of sounds like he's humble, doesn't it? No. He's covering over the humility, humble now, because he has an inferiority complex. God's excellent leader, while humble, does not let doubt keep him from being what God wants him to be. God's excellent leader overcomes doubt with faith, because God's excellent leader knows, I am myself do nothing. The Father in, he doeth the work. I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You let go and let God do it for you. No inferiority complex there.
Amen.
Wherefore speakest thou so to me?
Oh, poor little me.
Verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them to sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons.
There were about 30 elders of Israel there, and the high place, the first place, the highest seat, had been Samuel's. Samuel says, okay, this is going to be the transfer. You may sit in my seat. God's excellent leader trains the next generation.
Verse 23, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee.
Now remember, this is a solemn feast. It's a worshipful food, okay? Samuel said, take a part of that and put it aside there.
Verse 24, and the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For to this time hath it been kept for thee.
In Leviticus chapter 10, it explains that the first fruits belongs to the priest. Now, Samuel is giving up his prophet and judge position, and he's going to give this to Saul. He's supposed to be the judge, which also means he's to be the priest. And you give the first to them. It belongs to them. The first belongs to God. In other words, you don't pay the first fruits, the tithe. You return it, and then they're blessings. And it says that the heave shoulder and the wave breast belong to the priest. What Samuel's doing here, he's giving a visual aid. He's letting people see this is a transfer from a nation being a theocracy, where God is ruler, to a monarchy, where man is king. Oh, America, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Theocracy is better than monarchy.
Amen. Since I said I had invited the people, so Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Verse 25, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of a house.
Now, it's getting evening and it's hot. They do not have air conditioning. The houses had flat roofs and they had furniture up there. So Samuel takes Saul up there to talk with him and have the air conditioning. He lets him sleep up there. There's a cot. Samuel goes down into his house.
Verse 26, and they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day,
the dawning of the day, the next day, early morning,
that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away.
God's excellent leader knows when it's time to move. It is time for you to move. Now is accepted time. You do not delay. You don't wait for your ducks to get in a row. He told you, you get up and you do it. An excellent leader knows when to move and moves.
Amen.
And Saul arose. They went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. Verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, and Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant to pass on before us.
Let your servant take a few little feet ahead of us there. I want to talk to you.
And he passed on.
He did.
But stand thou still a while.
You stop here.
That I may show thee the word of God.
God's excellent leader, whether the president of a nation, whether your business owner, whether your mother or daddy, whether your Sunday school teacher, whether in the church, whether the leader of any kind of an organization, God's excellent leader declares the word of God to the people.
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Excellent leader declares the word of God to the people.
Amen.
Amen.
Excellent attributes for God's excellent leaders. Everyone under the sound of my voice, if you're saved, you're called to be a minister of reconciliation. You're called to be a leader. Now, you've had the attributes. Go forth now and be one of God's excellent leaders and produce fruit. I pray you a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, a man of God. He loves his God, he loves his wife, he loves his children, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm very good, Miss Sherry. That was a great word today.
Thank
awesome
you.
Word.
David left his stuff at the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Daniel 2:21.
Absolutely perfect. We did not collude. You were led by the Spirit. Okay, that's good. That's a sign you can be a great leader. Okay,
Amen.
Great, Scott. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sharon.
Before I pray for healing, anybody in the world out there, all my wonderful friends. By the way, I love your little lights. Like it there. Thank you for doing that. It encourages me. I don't get encouragement. Nobody ever calls and says, oh, you're doing great. They don't even tell me in here. But you're telling me, I thank you for that. I need encouragement too. So
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
If you're not saved, I want you to get saved right now. Say this prayer with me. Mean it, and God will bless you and save you. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And let me have fire in my belly.
And let me have fire in my belly.
No dead Christian here.
No dead Christian here.
No lukewarm praying here.
No lukewarm praying here.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Tell me where to go to church.
Tell me where to go to church.
And I will obey you.
And I will obey you.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell a lot of people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession on there. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. Now, I'm also going to give you my email a little bit. You can call me, email me there. For all of you new Christians, first of all, get you an Old Testament and a New Testament, a King James Version. The reason I use that is the only one that you could trace almost every word back to the perfect original manuscripts. There's some errors there, but you could trace it back and find it, so you need that. Also, you need to call God Father now. He's your Father, you're His Son. So you pray Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. You want to find a church to go to. You're welcome to come here to attend. They must teach the Bible one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. There must be an anointing of Holy Spirit in that church, and they must operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least some of them, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They must also have a midweek service, word, and prayer, because God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Prayer is the power. And you want to go there and be faithful there. Find you a place in your home private for you, your prayer place. Pray the Father in Jesus' name every day of your life. Commune with Him. Don't do all the talking. Let Him talk to you. And read your Bible every day. And God bless you and welcome to the family of God. Here's my email. SHARIMEDLOCK, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. I feel led today to pray for nasal congestion. nasal congestion, it stops up your nose, and you're miserable, you can't breathe. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, with Jesus' stripes, we are healed. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We ask you to restore health and cure. You sent your word and healed them. In the name and the power of Jesus, the inflamed membranes and the nasal passages, let the swelling go down so the air can flow there. The allergies be gone. All allergies, get the mindset of allergies out of you. One of the reasons you have this, you believe you have allergies. You get what you believe. Allergies be gone. They don't exist to you anymore. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Let the breath come in Jesus' mighty name. Let the breath come in. Breathe in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for menstrual cramps. That is a horrible thing. The spine is pinching that nerve there and causing that not to work right. Let the spine be adjusted, connected to the ovaries and the lower back there. Oh, let the blood flow, let the pain be gone. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. He sent his word and healed you. He relieves you from all distress. He comforts you on every side. The Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Pick up your bed and walk and breathe. Amen. In Jesus' Amen. Mighty name. Amen. We all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He knows how you feel. He cries when you cry, and he cares when you're in trouble, and he's there for you when everybody else is not there. He's closer to you than the hands of breathing. And no greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, and one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, the one true God. One man on the cross, and one light of the world, one name, one word, one way to be saved, and one lamb that was slain, one love above all. There is no other that can compare to you.
Bowing here Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? Look what you've done for me. Your blood has set me free. Jesus, my Lord, look what you've done for me. I haven't been the same ever since that day I called your name. Yahweh, Yahweh, look what you've done for me. What can I do? You to know
done for me.
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA Coco Beach and Vieira.
Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't make the flesh less fleshy.
Dr. Tony Evans says temptation is a fact of mankind's fallen nature.
So stop feeling bad that your flesh wants to be fleshy. That's not the problem. The problem is yielding to it, not having it.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Love, joy, peace, kindness. The Bible tells us these are some of the fruits of the Spirit. Today, Dr. Evans talks about the consequences of not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce those fruits in our lives and the steps we can take to prevent that from happening. Let's join him as he begins.
One of the things that I loved to do growing up in Baltimore, and in fact still love to do, is eat steamed crabs. Baltimore and all of Maryland is known for crabs. The Chesapeake Bay harvest millions and millions of crabs at crab parties, crab feasts in Maryland. It is the delicacy of the state. Whenever my father could afford it, he would get us crabs on Friday night, and we would indulge ourselves because we all loved crabs. Now, if you've ever seen crabs being steamed, you will notice something. That when the water begins to get hot, they try to escape. They wanted to get out the heat. They want to leave the boil. But inevitably, as one crab seeks to climb out of the pot, another crab will grab it, pull it down, try to step or climb on top of that crab to get to the top because it wants out of the pot and out of the heat. But inevitably, another crab will see that crab, grab it, pull it down. And instead of working together to hook claws together to help each other out the pot, they all boil because they have become experts in destroying and devouring one another so that they all wind up in the same place of destruction so I can get my crabs. Paul was concerned about this crab mentality in the church at Galatia. He was concerned about Christians devouring one another. He says in Galatians 5, verse 13, "For you are called to freedom,